Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. Welcome into the house of the Lord. How many can say praise the Lord for air conditioning? Let's do it. Amen. When you walk outside and it's like you just have to can't catch your breath, that's pretty hot. But we welcome you here today, and we especially welcome all of our visitors, Brittany, and all of our visitors that came this morning to celebrate with us. We're celebrating this morning. We're going to be, Dan and I, baptizing four people together, and then one more, four plus one. And this is amazing. Five, that equals five. Four plus one is five. But one of them is not going to be baptized by Dan, so. water baptism. Well, we're glad you came today because this is an important day. And this is a day of celebration and a day of blessing. And we have so many reasons to celebrate, but we want to get into a short message, and believe me when I say it's going to be short. We have a couple other things we really want to do today. One of them is we're going to be sharing a short message, and we're going to be doing the baptismal, and then at the end of service, our mother is going to come and bless this church, and pray and bless this church as the mother of this church. And so we're excited about everything. But I want to tell you there are six ordinances of the New Testament church, baptism being one of these, and the six are as follows: the Lord's Supper. And as I go into this, I want to tell you every one of these Jesus did. Jesus was obedient to every one of these ordinances. Number one is the Lord's Supper. He took the Lord's Supper. Number two is preaching the gospel. He preached. Number three is scripture reading. He taught and knew the scriptures. Number four is prayer. And number five is singing. And some of you didn't know that Jesus was a singer, but he was. He did all of these things. And I because when I was looking this up, I thought, wait a minute, Jesus did all of them except sing. And the Holy Spirit said, no, he sung too. So let me read Matthew 26 and 30. And when they had sung a hymn at the Lord's Supper, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sang too. And we should, too, do all these ordinances and be obedient to the ordinances of the church. Zephaniah says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you. He's a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. God sings loud over you. I love that. I love that, you know. And I believe that. You know, and let me tell you something interesting that hit me when I was preparing this. Guess who doesn't sing? Guess who has no reason to sing? The devil and all the demons in hell. So when you're singing worship and praise to God, you're doing what Jesus did. And if you don't, well, he didn't, you know. All that's free information. And Pastor Ken's going to share with you for a few minutes. But I used to believe, when I was taught baptism, I was taught that this is just symbolic. That this just is a symbol of Jesus dying and being rose again, yada, yada, yada. It's just a symbolic. Nothing, and I mean nothing, could be further from the truth. When you go into the waters of baptism, not only is it of great significance and an ordinance of the church, not only do I believe something happens, I believe something supernatural happens. When we are baptized, we identify with Christ by honoring the death, resurrection, Christ, and the work of the cross. And let me say, it is a supernatural thing. And I'm going to quote Galatians, and Pastor Ken needs to share. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself as a sacrifice for me.
Good morning. Wonderful to see everyone. You know, Pam, it also says he was crucified with Christ, but Paul goes on to say, I was buried with Christ.
That's right.
Then he goes on to says, I was resurrected with Christ. So in the burial and the resurrection, we see baptism. We're buried in baptism and resurrection. And I could not agree stronger with you that this is not just an ordinance. This is not just we're putting someone in the water. I was actually baptized twice in my life. The first time didn't really take. So,
surprise.
No, I got baptized when I was really young, and so when I was older, I thought that I would appreciate it more. And I'll tell you the truth: after doing it twice, it meant as much to me both times. It wasn't necessary. I'm glad I did it the second time. But here's the thing: I remembered the first time and the second time. I remember thinking both times, young and when I was an adult, something just happened.
That's right.
I felt the presence of God so strong, and I realized this was significant. And if that is true of me and it was true of Jesus, we're going to do those scriptures in a little bit. But if that was true, that it was significant in Jesus' life and it was significant in my life, believe me, there's no way you can get baptized without it affecting you. If you have been baptized, it's working on you. The song that we just sang, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, the beginning line always gets me when the music fades, because I always think, it's one thing to worship in the crowd. And Pam, I didn't know that music in heaven was loud, but I like that. So apparently there's amplifiers in heaven. Gio, you're on the soundboard, buddy. All right. Loud music in heaven. All right. But the song says when the music fades away, you could say, when I'm out of church, when I'm not with the crowd, when I'm all alone, we go back to the heart of worship. We've all been there. No matter how loud the crowd is, no matter how many people are in church or are not in church, there's a time every day in your life where it's you and God, where you turn your face to the wall and shut your eyes, and there's nothing and no one except the truth of who you are and who he is and what he means to you. I like that. I knew that scripture that Jesus sang hymns. I always wondered what hymns they sang. And I like the fact that the instrument that we all play is the heart, that we play on the heart, which is so connected to what we're doing today. I like that the Bible doesn't say sing in tune. Instead, the Bible gives us such an out. It says make a joyful noise. Just make a noise. Just grab that, just bang on the drums, you know. So there's great spiritual significance. And you know I can't not bring up the fact that the baptism tank it's a tomb. It's being buried in the ground. That's why we submerge people. And it's kind of a scary thought. Well, I don't want to be buried. But the idea is you're immediately resurrected. It is a picture of what has already happened in our life. Baptism was instituted by the Father, but we baptize in the name of Jesus and the Father. And what I'm saying is it involves the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see how the Holy Spirit is involved when Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit falls. We see the command of the Father. We see Jesus. We see the Holy Spirit. We see the Father. It's all three. This honors God. It is making such a public declaration that I am choosing Jesus. I'm choosing this kingdom. I'm choosing my future. And there's something about being clothed in that water. You come out of water, that water just dripping. Spiritually, what is happening physically? You see that manifestation of someone that went in dry and came up wet. You see that physically, but spiritually you don't see it. That when you come up, there's an anointing on you. There's an anointing that will, you'll walk and it'll follow your footsteps. It's like the oil that just stays on you. Okay. The song says, I have decided to follow Jesus, and it says, no turning back. This is a lifetime thing. So for the people that are being, the children and the adult, for everyone being baptized today, Doesn't matter how young you are. This is a lifetime appointment. And I guarantee you, you will remember this when you are 63 years of old. I can't speak to 66 or 6, but for 63, you will definitely remember this. So I want to read this scripture. Luke 3:16. John answered and said to all of them, I baptize you with water, but one mightier cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you. Now, I'm going to change it. I'm going to read it wrong. He shall baptize you with water. It's not what it says. John the Baptist says, when he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Wow. So, okay, and then one more scripture. I'm going to give this back to Pam. Luke 3:22. This is so vital because this is what's going to happen today. This is what has happened to every single person here who has been baptized, whether you realized it or not. When Jesus was baptized, this is going to show us what happens to us. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Jesus, upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Pam, what would you give? What would it mean to you to know that the Father said, I'm so pleased with you? That would just be everything for everyone.
You know, it's interesting you should say that. Because I believe, you know, we see the Holy Spirit descending. Jesus is being baptized. The Holy Spirit's descending. And it's the Father's voice we hear. And it's so interesting you would say what the Father said. Because here's the situation. Jesus did not do one miracle. He didn't open any blinded eyes. He didn't make any lame to walk. Until he was first obedient to the Father. After that, things happen. We have to be obedient, and then you see what's going to happen. What I believe is the Father said that after he was baptized. This is my beloved Son. He might as well have said, my beloved obedient Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know what I believe? That God is here today, that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here today. And I believe that if the Father God were to speak, and let me tell you something, he is speaking through his word. This is my beloved son, daughter, in whom I am well pleased. I believe that's what he's saying. But I want to tell you something on my heart. I am so thankful that primarily today we're going to be baptizing children, and let me tell you why. Because it was Jesus who said, allow the little children to come to me and don't push them away. Don't tell them no. I actually know of churches. I know some who baptize children as infants, and I know others who say children cannot be baptized until they do this and they do that, until they're an adult. And you know what? This is an open baptism at this church. You know, if you confess Christ. But if I was to say anything to our candidates that I would want them to remember today, it would be this. My standard line. Jesus did not die on the cross to save us from our sins. We are sinners. We are going to sin. He died on the cross to save us from the punishment of our sin. And so if you should sin, as we all do, I hope you won't. We try not to. We shouldn't. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin. It gives us a reason not to sin. But if we should sin, don't ever let anyone tell you that, well, you just turned your back on God. The blood of Jesus is strong enough to cleanse the sins of your past, the sin of your present, and into the future. If I was sinning right now and Jesus came, I would go to heaven because the blood is that powerful. Always remember, it's not what you do or ever did, it's what he did that counts. You can be as good as you want. And your filthy rags on your best day. Thank God for the blood. You can be as bad as you want. You're going to see some people in heaven and you're going to go, whoa, who let that person in? Jesus is going to go, that would be me. That would be me over here. I did it. You know, we have these thoughts. You know, I had a situation recently where I was talking to someone and they were telling me that this person deserves this and this person deserves that. And this person, they're going to get what's coming to them. They're going to get what's coming to them. And I listened and I listened. And I understand consequences. They're going to get what's coming to them. And you know what the Holy Spirit spoke to me? And I was telling Pastor Ken, everybody wants a crucifixion. I want a resurrection. While everybody's saying, crucify them, you know what I want to see? That's the difference in me and you. You know what I want to see? I want to see him raise up one more time. Come on up one more time. Come on up. Jesus will take you back. Anyone, everyone. And that's why we're baptized, that we honor the cross. When we're saved, we're honoring the cross and what Jesus did, right? He died for our sins. He was crucified, buried, and rose again victoriously so we can raise up our sad sack life. And that's why we honor Christ in baptism. We're honoring the cross again. You know, I have the greatest respect for John the Baptist, but anybody who knows I teach on Monday night know that I find humor in the Bible. We have a lot of laughs around here on Monday night. One of the things that I noticed, Pastor Ken, in John the Baptist, it says in the Bible that when the people came to be baptized, that the Pharisees came too, and the publicans came. They wanted to be baptized too. So this is John's baptizing. This is as if people were coming up here today, and Pastor Ken or Pastor Dan and I said, hey there, you snakes in the grass. Hey, you vipers. That's what he told people who came to be baptized. Hey, you vipers over there. I mean, I'd be like, what? And he said, you know what you need to do? He didn't just baptize them. He said, what you need to do is bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Don't just say that Abraham's my father. Don't just say that Kenneth Bonner Sr. is my father and I get in because of him. Oh, no, no, no. He said, you're going to have to, if a man doesn't have a coat and you got two coats, you got to give him the coat. If someone doesn't have meat and you got a roast at home, you got to give him the roast. That's just the way it is. Give him the fried chicken and you may not get none. But that's what John the Baptist said. Repent and be baptized into new life. And I believe that baptism gives us a new strength. It does. It's an accountability you have. When I go in that tank and I get baptized, if I'm getting baptized, then I do something, I fall into sin. Frida has every right to say, excuse me for just a minute, you viper. What happened here? You know, come on, you were baptized. You represent Christ. And that's what's going to happen. And that's why we have an open baptism. And when I say that God will require a lot of you, I mean, he will require a lot of you. Can I share my testimony? I told you recently that I felt led to give a missionary $1,000, and within an hour, I got that $1,000 back. I have a friend who is a minister. She is a female minister. She is, I think, 62nd and Bell or something like that. I met her in a jewelry store. And she always tells me what kind of jewelry to buy at the Swarovski or whatever. And I was buying gifts for people, people like Grace, and grandkids. And she was telling me, you should buy this beautiful bracelet for yourself. You should buy it for yourself. And it was very pricey. It was almost $300. Buy it for yourself. And I wasn't a bracelet person, so I didn't say anything. But the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. And the woman who's in the store, she's a minister too, said, buy that bracelet for her. And I'm thinking, you know, if people need something, they probably don't need a bracelet. And she works in the jewelry store. She probably gets a discount anyway. And don't buy the bracelet. And the Holy Spirit told me, buy the bracelet. So Sandra and I went in the other day when I was checking out my stuff, and I bought the bracelet for her. And she opened the bracelet, and she just started sobbing. And she said, I'm a minister like you. She said, I do everything for everybody. No one's ever done anything for me. And she's just looking at me and Sandra, and, you know, and we were just like standing there, you know. And so the store called me. Fast forward. The manager of the store called me. She said, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. And she told me, she goes, there's a coupon coming up for 20% off. And it was the exact price amount. I got it last night of the bracelet. You can't ever outgive God, but here's what I'm telling you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. If he tells you to do something and you don't understand it, do it anyway. It's not going to hurt anybody. You know, I came to the conclusion, if this is not you, Holy Spirit, sure ain't going to hurt nobody. And just showing love. People are hurting. They need to know their love. Now, however you do that, Starbucks card, $10, perfect. Perfect. Pastor Ken told you one Sunday morning, get the McDonald's card, start passing them out. Do something to show people that they can make it, because you don't know when somebody's out there and they're almost not to make it. I had that experience this week.
Yeah, people get on the edge where they're just like, where life pushes them too hard. And here's what they've learned. Almost every email they get is some sort of a scam. Come on, look at your email boxes. How many of those is someone wanting to take advantage of you? It's almost like we have learned to live in society. You have to keep your guard so high up because we're so used to the thief stealing, killing, and destroying. That's why when you break that pattern and you say, I'm not like the others. I'm not here to just take from you. And it's those small things, giving small gifts. I can tell you that when we went to Mexico, we gave gifts. There were 12 pastors' wives, and we bought 12 watches and 12 Bibles, and I believe we had their names engraved on them, and tracts. You would have thought we had given those pastors' wives $1 million to give them a Bible and a watch. We gave to a missionary in Mexico that said, I've been in ministry for years. It was embarrassing, the little amount we had. We were doing things like soccer balls for children and things. But it's the small, but we had 100 soccer balls, so it almost started a riot in Mexico. It got bad. When you have 100 soccer balls and 1,000 people show up for them, they're just people coming all over the place. But it's fun to do that sort of thing. So yes, we do need to be a blessing to others, because we don't need another crucifixion, especially when it comes to individuals. We just need to encourage one another. This is not just a ceremony today, because the Holy Spirit falls, and the Holy Spirit is a person, not a ceremony. Pam, you said that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. I want to say to everyone here, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, that's the one thing I wish they would amplify that. I wish the Holy Spirit would say, Ken! Hello, McFly, what are you doing? I wish it was so clear, but it's not. It's such a small voice saying, don't do that. And when I run past those red lights, I know, I can't believe I did that. I know I had a check in my spirit. I knew there was, but I have learned, Pam, I believe that if I would learn to really listen for that small, still voice, that my life would be 100 times better. So this is what I want to say to you, because you might, just in case you're sitting out there and you got the devil on your shoulder saying, yeah, the Holy Spirit does speak to everyone but me. And you might be saying to yourself today, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to me because I know who I am. You do not know who you are. Do not believe that lie. You may have been that. You may have had the propensity to be. I don't care who you were. Don't underestimate the power of love. Don't underestimate the power of the blood. Don't underestimate the washing of the water by baptism. Don't underestimate the love of God for you. Don't you dare say, well, I'm just this sinner and God would never talk to me. He's talking to you now. He's talking to you tomorrow. He knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows your fears. He knows your future. He knows your name. He could tell you how many hairs are on your head. He can tell you what you had for dinner last night, even though you forgot. He can tell you everything. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He is your Father, and he is worthy of it all. I'm about to head over to the piano here because I know we've got mom speaking. The most important thing in your life is your salvation. And the next important thing, it's important for everyone. It is that spiritual walk that you are meant to have with God. That emptiness in our life is, that's the emptiness. It's in the garden, they walked in the cool of the evening. When we were worshiping today, that's exactly what we were doing. Last thing, as we worship, as we do the baptism, I wish I could pay someone to go to the health club for me and work out for me. Wouldn't it be great? I could lose so much weight. You can't have someone work out for you, and you can't have someone worship for you. Only you can worship. So we're going to get to do that today. Congratulations to everyone being baptized. Your life will never be the same.
All of our candidates have their certificate. We're going to ask mom to come. The Holy Spirit put it on my heart early this morning. We would not be sitting in this church except for our mom and our father. Let me tell you, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. But you can't go home and live life. Someone was asking me, I believe it was Dan, why our children, don't adult children come to church? And why don't they serve God? And here's what I said. Because yes, their parents came to church and brought them to church, but they lived on Monday through Saturday. They didn't live out the gospel. If you train up your child by example, when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, Mom, if you would come and bless this church that you founded, we would be honored. I ask that you all stand.
I do have a lot of memories. I do remember the first day we came to this church. As our church, we were having some prayer meetings in our house in the basement in the evenings for quite some time. We were very unhappy with the church that we had gone to for so long. And we were praying about this. And so when this came up for sale, my husband came to me and said, "Can we buy this church?" I thought, buy a church? That's quite a little deal. But the Lord blessed us. We paid cash for this church. God gave us this church. And I wonder many times over the years when I go away, will this church be here when I get back? This church is never closed. Maybe a snowstorm one time, but God has blessed us. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And that's what we found right here. I love this church. We love this church. We love every bit of energy we put into it. And this church was my husband's heart. And never understood why he had to leave it, but hey, God knows his business. We take care of ours. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we stand here today. This church is still well, alive and well. We thank you for everybody who is here. We ask the blessing of the Lord on each one of us individually, Lord. May they be blessed of the Holy Spirit for having been here today. Father, you've been so good to us. We all can say that. None of us in this place could say today you haven't been good. We thank you for the goodness of the Lord, and we thank you that this church will continue until you come. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, bless everybody that is in this place today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We are going to fire the person who was supposed to heat this baptismal tank.
She is fired. I don't know why we're complaining here. Come on. First up, we have Grace Cristobal.
Grace, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay. We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ava, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In my swimming pool at home, just so everyone knows. Vivian, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? We do now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Bunch of complainers this morning.
Landon, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
We now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Been baptized once, or you've received the Holy Spirit, you might want to do it a second time. It's so wonderful, the power and presence of God. Caleb and I are about to receive, we are about to baptize our youth pastor, Dan Mahowski. He would like to be rebaptized. God is moving. You can feel the Holy Spirit here, and we're going to baptize Dan in Jesus' name. Dan?
I'm halfway through my race, as we are all through different periods in our race. I tell the youth this, and as we progress, always put Christ first. Never run this race. And I tell the kids, run the race faithfully every day, and keep the focus on Christ as we move forward, as we grow up. And God is good. I'm just rededicating midway through, so praise God. My wife said, keep me a little bit under longer, but, you know, praise the Lord. God is good. Praise God. And thank you, church, for being here with me through all my years. And praise God. Amen.
You know, I've always said, I am so blessed. God picked him to be my son-in-law. And it is such an honor to baptize your children and your children's children. And I am just so blessed today. In Jesus' name, Dan, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Miss Frida, will you come forward? You want to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? You want me to lower this a little bit?
I am decided.
voice cracks. Don't turn back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. This has been a glorious day, one that he has made. We're rejoicing in it. And as the pastors have told us, remember to be faithful with your worship to him. Commit to him. Give him your best, not what's left. Oh, Father God, we thank you because you have given us your best, Lord. You have searched us. You have known us. You know our down-sitting and our uprising, Lord. And, Father God, everything in between. And although our lives might be as filthy rags, Lord, your blood and the cross and the resurrection, the new life, gives us hope. And now, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, let no man, no woman leave here the way they came. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.